But before we start, I thought it would be really nice to hear everybody's voices. And so if you could perhaps, Bill, you'll have to watch this, just unmute them. And when your microphone is muted, if you could just give greetings from your part of the world, it would be really nice. And so our first attendee is Ira, is it? Ira, are you there? If you're speaking, Ira, we are not receiving anything.
Hello. Maybe okay. Now it's working.
It is working now.
Great. Hello, everyone. I'm Ira from Germany.
Well, welcome to the webinar, Ira, and hope that you'll ask questions. I love people who ask questions during the webinar at any time. Just put your hand up and we'll take the question. Thank you, Ira. Antoinette, are you there?
Good morning. I'm Antoinette from South Africa. It's awesome to attend the webinars with you.
Yeah. No, thank you, Antoinette. It's lovely to have you from South Africa. And Brenda, how are you?
Hi, Leonie. I'm good, thank you, from Shanghai, China.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. We're all around the world. Thank you, Brenda. Nice to have you on board. I've got all your questions ready, the answers okay. to them. Yeah. And Maria, welcome to you, Maria. I'm not hearing you, Maria. Have you unmuted yourself? Well, we'll come back to Maria, who seems to have dropped out. So, Yvonne, welcome to you, Yvonne. It's lovely having you on again.
I'm Yvonne Winiger. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's in the United States.
Welcome to you, Yvonne, as well. All right, and so we'll go straight.
You missed Tracy.
Oh, Tracy. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Yes, hi, Tracy.
Hello there from sunny New Zealand. Hi, everyone.
Hi, yes. Is it sunny today?
It's sunny and it's very, very warm.
Oh, how lovely. Oh, well, welcome on board, Tracy.
Thank you.
All right, so we look at this first slide now. And it's a most wonderful statement that the Tibetan makes, and I'm sorry I haven't put the quote in there, but it's in Esoteric Astrology. And he said that astrology is essentially the purest presentation of occult truth in the world at this time, because it is the science which deals with those conditioning and governing energies and forces which play through and upon the whole field of space and all that is found within that field. A most amazing statement, and whenever I read that, I get a visual picture of all the constellations and the in the billions of suns and stars that we have throughout space, and all the interrelationships and the energy flows that take place between all these great centers within the universe. And so the Tibetan is giving credibility to a science, astrology, which has lost its credibility over the last couple of hundred years. So in the future, he did say that doctors and psychologists in the future will have to have a study of astrology as part of their training, as well as their basic training they're getting at the moment, as well as training in the Eastern science of the chakras as well as psychological training. So we'll gain its credibility in the future, and we can see that coming. Next slide, please, Astrid. For those who don't know, for some reason, I am unable to do the slides myself. So it's because I'm a long way from my the station that that handles my server or something, so I do have somebody who's assisting me. On this next slide, I'm just re-grounding some of the basics, the very important basics of esoteric astrology. These are the foundational facts. The first statement, orthodox or exoteric astrology maps the personality life. And this is the astrology that most astrologers in the world practice. They don't call themselves exoteric. We use that word to distinguish the science from the esoteric branch. And the great difference we find when we read point two of esoteric astrology, it is a science of the soul, of unfolding consciousness, and is used to help us identify what we have to do. And I'll read those following bits soon. So there is the great difference. The ordinary astrology maps the personality life. It's very effective in helping us understand what we need to do in the world to be successful as personalities in the material life. As far as esoteric astrology goes, it maps consciousness. So in all these years that I've been doing astrology and esoteric astrology, I really do think from the point of view of the unfoldment of consciousness. So I'm always looking at that angle when I'm talking with anybody, when I'm doing a seminar such as I'm doing today. I'm thinking of consciousness and the unfoldment of it and the presence of our wisdom aspect, our soul. And so I'm so entrenched in looking at the science from that point of view, I don't even have to think about it. And so the three major steps in esoteric astrology is based around, firstly, the moon sign. And our important task is to purify the unconscious, the past life negative habits that we have picked up through lifetimes and in this early part of this life. Well, mainly from past lives, because of course the birth chart is set up for when we were born, and we unlock that and interpret that from the moon sign and what it says in the chart. The second very important task is to understand the personality as represented by the sun sign. And the great goal of the personality is also to purify it, but also to strengthen it. The soul needs a very strong personality in order to be successful in the world. It's represented, of course, at its height by Leo. It's the primary sign of the personality. And many people do not realize that actually achieving the goal of Leo and being a strong, arrogant, powerful personality is the first most important spiritual goal for the soul. It's only then that the soul tries to come through and control the personality. Up until then, they try to come through before there is an integration between the mind and the emotions and the physical, the personality would collapse. There's no will, no central will, no ability to control the mind, to control the emotions. So the soul doesn't get involved until the lion personality is there and present. And then, of course, the major goal is to transform the nature and become soul conscious, i.e. to become wise, loving, and inclusive. And we achieve this by studying and taking on and expressing the qualities of the rising sign, which is for non-astrologers is found at 9 o'clock in the chart. So that sign that is on that rising sign, and it said rising, it's called rising because at that time it's when the sun is rising across the ascendant, and the sun represents the light of God. And so that part of the chart, the eastern part of the chart, represents a spiritual potential and in a sense is a portal into the spiritual life and the spiritual world. So that's what the foundational facts of esoteric astrology. Would anyone like to comment on that? I've got a question. What does this all mean in your own words? I'm a really great, in my teaching, I like students to be able to reformat something and put it into their own words. Would anyone like to summarize how they see these goals in their own words? If so, just put your hand up. I'll wait a few seconds.
Leonie?
Yes?
Ira had his hand up for a minute and then I saw it go down. So I'm not sure if he had a question or if he was directing it to your question, but let's see.
Oh, Iris unmuted. Oh, you've unmuted.
Thank you.
Iris, yeah, do you have something? Yes.
I had a quick question, but it was not the. I didn't mean to put this together in my own words. So the question was: is it an esoteric chart, astrology chart, identical with an exoterical? Is the math the same?
The math is the same. It's an identical chart. The difference is interpretation, Ira, and we have extra rulership. So in traditional astrology, we know that Mercury rules Gemini and the Moon rules Cancer, and that represents the personality level. But in esoteric astrology, we have higher rulers. So there is a different ruler in most signs that rules the personality, the soul consciousness. So, for example, going to Gemini, Mercury rules the personality in the Gemini person, but Venus is the soul ruler and is transmuting the consciousness of a Gemini person, because that is the ruler that the Tibetan has given for that level, and it works out in fact. And then there is a higher level again, ruler in all signs, third signs, for a person who's become global or spiritual in consciousness. So it's all to do with interpretation. The math is exactly the same. Have I answered your question?
Yes, thank you.
Good. Next slide, thank you. And I love it when people ask questions, so please just put your hand up any time. And so we're going to be looking at two charts. And what I've done in these two charts is I've just put together these three levels of consciousness. And one is the Tibetan's chart. We'll look at that last. But I've worked through the labors of Hercules and put through these three levels of consciousness. So remember what they are. We have the personality consciousness, soul consciousness, then spiritual consciousness. I don't often talk about spiritual consciousness because most of us are still trying to become soul conscious, and it's only the very, very advanced people who have taken the third initiation, which is the initiation of enlightenment, symbolized by Capricorn, who are really becoming global in their consciousness. And we can see such people in the world because they have a global influence. So we've got Pope Francis, we have the Dalai Lama, there are some people who have a global impact, like Hitler, who are not at these higher levels of consciousness, but still. So I'm looking at people who have an impact for good in the world, and so they are there, we can see them. So we're looking at these two charts. So the first one, if you would like to click over, please, Astrid. And I've just gone through the labors of Hercules and tried to pick out a few things. Okay, so this is a very important chart from Esoteric Astrology. If you have that book, or I have this CD-ROM, you can get it. It's on page 332. It's a really wonderful chart, and you will see that he's separated their levels of consciousness and headed them up: undeveloped man, advanced man, and disciple initiate. You could say personality, soul, and spiritual man is the way I often look at that. So, and I'll just try and get my webcam back up there. So, yes. Is my webcam showing, Astra?
Yes, okay, it is, Leonie.
Okay, good. All right, so here we have the three levels. I'm not going to dwell on them. But you will find them, and I can email this chart to you as well, but you will see it gives you a wonderful idea of these three levels. And I think what we might do in this is perhaps, would somebody like us to, who would like to be our little guinea pig, and we can go through the sun sign of a person and look at these three different levels. Who would like to do that? Put your hand up. First one with your hand up. Tracy.
Right. Go ahead, Tracy.
Tracy. Okay, Tracy, what's your sun sign? Hi, Trace.
Leo. Hello there.
Leo.
I'm a Leo.
Hi.
Yes.
Okay. So here we have for a Leo sun sign person that we're talking about the personality here. And so if Tracy had not been doing any development work, she would really be entrenched in her lower self, which means we interpret that as the materialist who's really involved and focused on acquiring power and acquiring a higher status in the world. So we could interpret it like that. For Tracy and every other Leo, the goal is to strive to become higher self. In this level, it means the soul. And so that means Tracy's task is to be the Leo leader, of course, but a person who comes from the wisdom and compassion and understanding of her soul. If she were had gone through that level and perhaps had taken the second initiation of which is astral purity at that level, then she would be striving to become the one self and identifying her consciousness with the one soul of humanity, which is a very, very, as we would all imagine, a very evolved and exalted level to reach. So that's just a very simple way that you can read it. And thank you, Tracy, for just volunteering yourself for that.
You're welcome.
So this chart, we're not going to dwell anymore because we've got quite a lot to do. I want to do some more interpretation, but that chart is there. If we could go to the next slide, please, Astrid. I've got a very interesting slide that it's a bit of a digression, but I thought that you might like this because it involves the chakras. And so you know that we have many chakras within our body, but there are seven major spinal chakras and two head chakras. Seven of them in total. They are the major chakras, and they are the ones that the soul works through. And so I've divided them up really with soul personality and unconscious and also the rising sign, sun sign and the moon sign. So we can see that, let's start from the bottom. And so when we're dealing with the moon sign, we're really dealing with the unconscious animal instincts within the nature. And those patterns are held within the three base chakras. So solar plexus, sacral, and base chakras house our unconscious animal instinctual side. If we go up, and we'll miss the heart chakra, the soul, if we go up to the personality, then we have two chakras that are particularly to do with the mind-body. Whereas going back down the bottom, the solar plexus chakra is the doorway for the astral plane and the emotional body. If we go up to the personality, then we're dealing with the portals, so the chakras that have access to the mental plane, higher and lower mental planes. And it's only when we develop our mind and our will, our sun sign qualities, that we develop that integrated personality. So the ajna and throat chakras are particularly involved in that work. Eventually, the ajna chakra, the brow chakra, is meant to be the coordinator of all the lower chakras. And I like to think of that as being a driving seat. Within the brain, there is I'm writing a book on medical astrology, and there's a certain structure in the brain that looks like a cockpit, and it's around this, the pituitary and pineal glands. And so I see that as a seat, and I think that there is a great battle that takes place eventually between the personality and soul to see who's going to sit in that driver's seat. So it's just my way of looking at it, very important. Now the soul primary entry portals for the soul, the crown chakra, they all come from here, but primarily through the heart chakra, the soul works through, and then spirit, which I haven't emphasized, but it works through that crown chakra and grounds in the pineal gland. So there is a chart that I've just made up, and it's there for you to look at. And so do we have any questions about that at all, about the chart or anything at all to do with it?
Leonie?
Yes.
There's no questions right now, but I just wanted to mention to all the students that we are recording this webinar, and it will be posted to the Makara student web where all of our recordings go. And at that time, we'll also post a PDF version of these slides. So they'll have the slides available as they look at the recording or for study purposes.
That's great. Thank you very much. I'll have the next slide then. Thank you, Astrid. And so we'll go on in the next slide. I've just got a few more of the three levels. What I've done, because we have been working with the labors of Hercules, so I've tried to adopt some of the Tibetans' characteristics on this chart and tried to put it in the labors of Hercules model. And so we have, if you've been reading him, Aries, we have, and we know that he had to go out and he had to gather up the horses of mind that represent angry thoughts and that. So, and he was boastful, and his friend got killed. So we have the boastful ram. We learn through our mistakes. So in the advanced man, as we all know, we're all developing by learning from our mistakes and striving to stand in the light and to stand in our higher qualities and not to be drawn back into our spiteful lower side. And so you all know you're going through the same experience as I. We have one foot in our soul, and part of the time we are wise and we're compassionate, we're loving, and then part of the time, depending upon what our astrology is and what the transits are doing, we flip back into our lower side. And so we're so aware of our duality, and we're striving to hold our consciousness steady and a higher soul level and not revert back to our old stuff. And as we practice that day after day, meditate day after day, of course we start really transforming our consciousness, and eventually the lower qualities will die out by atrophy. We just don't feed them anymore, and we don't give them any more energy, and they just die. And that's the goal, and that's what the central column is all about. It's the work that we do. And so if we go back to Leo, which was Tracy's, she needing to go as far as the labors of Hercules go, from the lion of arrogance, starved of life, and be a selfless leader. And we know in that myth that Hercules went in and choked the life out of the lion, and so, which is why a starved of life. But the great message there is for all Leo people, they have to really starve that ego, the lower personality of energy, or it will rise up and kill them. And so we have this chart as well, pretty similar to the Tibetans, just put a few more different words in there, but I tried to keep it very similar. Are there any questions so far? Because I think from the next ones, I'm going to do some examples of famous people. And then, and we'd also start working with your. I'm going to start working with your charts as well. Any questions so far? No. All right. We'll move on to the next slide. Thank you, Astrid. So here we have in practice. And what I'm going to do, just I've already covered this in our first or second slide, but I'm going to use the moon, sun, and rising signs of famous people and the three level of consciousness chart to identify what rubbish they have to purify. Moon sign, the words that the Tibetan use is the prison of the soul. So it is, we're dealing here with a pattern that has been around for lifetimes, to the extent that it has become a deeply grooved pattern of behavior, and one that we fall back on by instinct when we feel threatened. So you all know how you act when you've got your back to the wall and you're feeling threatened, feeling that if you don't defend yourself, you're going to be annihilated. We have some method of coming out and to fight. So, and we're going to have a look at all your little methods later. And then the next level is what negatives we need to control and express positively through the sun sign. So the moon sign, we do have to learn to express those qualities positively, but we really do have to try and identify that pattern that is holding and really is imprisoning the soul. We come in with lots of patterns, and I think, was it Brenda, these are one of the questions you've asked, but we have come in with many patterns, but the moon sign pattern is the major one that has been triggered by the soul that is essential to be cleared. The sun sign has negatives as well, and but we really need to deal with those, but most importantly, to express and develop, or develop and express the positives of the sun sign. And then, of course, for everybody who is on the path, most important, to identify those qualities that we need to develop and express via the rising sign. And so all people are striving on one or other of these levels, and sometimes for us we're striving on all three levels. If you're on the path, you're striving at all three levels because you're doing that third level. Most successful people in the world are dealing with that first level, really dealing with any negatives, because you can't have them come up and interfering. If you're a world leader or something like that, you want to be a strong presence and being able to hold your ground and your energy, keep it compact in the world. And so all successful people in the world, strong people, are really working on that second level. And it's only really, though, when we have a higher aspirational calling, and many successful people in the world have that, of course, that we start developing those rising sign qualities. Of course, we don't have to know our astrology to be able to know what we have to develop. It is our soul that's conducting our life and our training, and so this comes to us automatically, and the soul, of course, speaks primarily through our heart. It's something that we feel. Are there any questions before we move on? All right, just another click, thank you, Astrid, and bring up, we're going to look at Donald Trump, very popular today, of course, in running in the election, and I forgot that Bill, I had him on here, we were having a little discussion about him before, and about the presidential election that is coming up in the United States at the end of the year. So Donald Trump's prison of the soul pattern is Sagittarius. Now I'm going to leave it to you. Does anyone have we have a few astrologers in our little group. Before I say anything, would anyone like to do that little reading? What about you, Brenda? Would you like to have a go and just have a quick reading across what he has to do?
I'm having trouble with connection, so I might pass on this time. Thanks, Leonie. Sorry.
Okay, no, that's fine. Is there anybody else who would like to? Okay. I'll just do a quick reading. So Sagittarius, I'm just going to pick up, and this is the way when I do a reading. So I look at the moon sign, and I think Sagittarius negatives, they're all things to all people. They shoot arrows off in all different directions, and they're so occupied in chasing after those arrows that they don't get much done. It is a mutable sign. In the labors of Hercules, what the Tibetan pointed out, or Bailey did in pointing out, was that they are very blunt with their mouth. They had these birds that would come in and they were killing the population. And they symbolize the sort of thoughts that come out of the Sagittarius mind and mouth. And they come out, they can be quite blunt and brutal with what they say. And I've heard Sagittarians say after they've annihilated someone with their words, but I'm telling the truth, and it justifies it to them. So that's the primary Sagittarius. And the other thing about it is in the Sagittarius, I forget the keynote, but it has to do with appetite. And so one of the things I've noticed with lower some Sagittarians like that is that they really, because Jupiter rules it, so they have large appetites, and that could be for food, but often it's for sex. Sagittarius rules around the bottom of the body where the sacral sexual chakra is, so very often they're so preoccupied with feeding themselves, food, wine, sex, having a really good time, and so they miss the opportunity for developing. So that is Donald's prison of the soul pattern, and he would have had to really deal with that in order to be successful. And I really don't see much of that in Donald, but no doubt if we went back into his early 20s, we might see some riotous living back there. His sun sign is Gemini, and he is very articulate. And so the sun sign person has to really develop his ability to be the messenger and to be an effective messenger. And that's what the personality has to do. So Donald's soul has been training him to be an effective communicator. Of course, we've seen him on TV. He's got this millionaire. What is this show that he does something about employment with a millionaire?
The Apprentice.
Thank you. And so he's very articulate. So he's really trained that himself. He's got a good, strong personality. He's very mouthy, and just as Geminis are supposed to be, put their message out there in an assertive way. That's the goal of the sun side in Gemini. The ascendant sign represents the soul, of course, and this higher level. And so the Leo on the higher level is the leader that leads from the heart and with compassion and with wisdom and understanding. So there is the high goal for him. He's certainly in his Gemini personality. Now he needs to strive towards his higher Leo self, and he does that by, remember, Hercules strangled the lion, and so he needs to try and control his mouthiness, think before he speaks, and to be the leader who is more empathetic and compassionate. It will be very interesting to see if he wins the presidential election, if he makes that evolution. Do we have any comment or any questions about that little mini reading? Okay, something to think about. So I'd like you all to have an idea. I should have asked before you came if you know what your moon, sun, and ascendant sign is, because I'm going to do, with the help of BL if she wants to, we're going to do the same mini little reading for all of you. So the next click, thank you, Astrid. I've got somebody else here. I think it's Ted Cruz, it might be. Ted Cruz is one of the front runners, Republican front runners in the presidential race. He's trying to be the nominee for president from the Republican Party. And my understanding is that Donald and Ted Cruz are the front runners at the moment. So we're going to have a look at his astrology. And we note that he has the moon and the ascendant or rising sign both in the sign of Libra. It's very interesting when this happens, because it means that in one sign, the qualities, and in this case, he has a real negativity, the negative traits of Libra, and they are a procrastination. The scales represent Libra, and Libra people, when they're in their lower self, they oscillate. They go like this and they get nothing done because they can't make their mind up, backwards and forwards. I have a Libra moon, by the way, and I know what it's like sitting on the fence. One of the things that Libra moon people don't like to do is to rock the boat, to upset people. They want everyone to love them. Venus rules it. And so they often sit on the fence and they won't get involved in any decision making, or won't put their head out in case someone might not like them. So Ted Cruz is definitely not like that. I'll do his ascendant, Libra ascendant, when we get to it. What I see with Ted is very much the Capricorn. I haven't studied him as much as Ted Cruz, but the Capricorn person ruled by Saturn. And we know what the Capricorn symbology is. It's the mountain goat walking up the mountain. And the goal for the Capricorn personality is the mountain of materiality. They have to be, train themselves to become very effective in the world and to climb the mountain of ambition. So the outstanding trait in the Capricorn person is ambition. And whether that is ambition for power and influence and money in the outer world, the material world, or spiritual ambition, wanting to be a bishop, wanting to be the pope or something. The personality wants high office, and so they are very ambitious. And here we have Ted Cruz running for the highest office in the land of the United States, president. So, and he's very dogged. He's got a very strong chin. I bet he's got bony knees too, which is, seems to be typical with some Capricorn. It's more likely a ascendant, but I've noticed with Capricorn people, especially Capricorn ascendant, they're like the goats and they clip-clop along and they've got these bony knees and a bony face. He certainly has got that boniness in that, but very determined man and highly, highly ambitious. Saturn is very ambitious. His spiritual goal of Libra is to be perfectly balanced and poised. And to be fair, it is the scales is used in with regard to legal fraternity and in the courts. It's usually in the Western Australia anyway, we have the blinded goddess holding up the scales, and it's supposed to be the law is not influenced by anything else and is just is itself. So he, the spiritual goal for, or the soul goal for Ted Cruz is to learn to be totally unbiased and fair in a very fair, unbiased way, which doesn't mean you're fair from a Republican point of view or fair from a Democrat point of view. You have to be fair from a humanitarian point of view and for the higher good. The soul is always working for the higher good and for the goodwill of humanity. It works with love and wisdom. And so the goals we could put behind all these is ascendant sign qualities is using those qualities to express the higher good. And so he's needing to be a fair, learn to be a fair and just person. And I think we have next click, thanks Astrid. I think I've got Hillary Clinton up there. Oh, Hillary Clinton. Well, Pisces moon, I certainly don't see that in her, because the moon in Pisces, when that negative is showing out, it's the ocean, of course. And Pisces people, like the fishes, just flow. And they just meander around and they're all things to all people. And they're weak, and it can be, and this is that weakens them. They're emotional and hypersensitive, and they are the creators of everything. And so they just drift around, have a really good time. Don't see that in Hillary. We do see these, and look, she's got a double Scorpio. That's very powerful, and which really does explain why she comes through with that such strength, and that you know that you have to be careful. I would think if you're a politician and you take Hillary on, you're going to have to be prepared to get that Scorpion coming back at you. Though, of course, she's been really working with that over the years. And trying to come from the higher moral high ground. But Scorpio, tremendous energy to have if you want to be successful in life, because the planets that rule it, Mars rules it on the lower level, Mars and Pluto to a certain extent, but Mars gives that tremendous drive and physical energy which enables you to be so successful in the material world. And so she has that. And then Mercury rules Scorpio on the higher level. Mars also rules on the soul level. And so Scorpio people, now I'm doing the ascendant, what Scorpio rising people have to do, and I have a Scorpio ascendant, you have to fight for your spiritual life. So you are still the warrior, but instead of fighting everybody else and killing off everybody else around you so that you can be the big scorpion in a little pond, you have to really take the moral high ground, and as the soul, try and defeat the scorpion, scorpionic lower self. And we have that great Labours of Hercules, my favourite one really, well, Scorpio rising, but we have this nine-headed Hydra, and Hercules has to go into the swamp, and this Hydra comes out and its head's a blazing fire, and every time he cuts one head off, two grow in its place, and he's being defeated, and the mud and slime it lives in is sucking him down. And this is so indicative of the challenge for the Scorpio sun sign and rising sign. And here we have Hillary has them both. And you have to find that if you stay fighting on the same level, that you will be destroyed. And the Scorpio lesson is to go up into the light. And so the soul told Hercules, remember the light, which means that we have to rise up into our mind and into that soul-infused mind and fight a battle from the intellect and not get back into our stuff, into our snappy Scorpio solar plexus and lower chakras, sacral chakras, but stay in the mind, and we then can be successful. And so that is what Hillary, her goal is to really, she got the double wallop of being a warrior and being a fighter. She can't help herself. That's what she was born to do. And I think she's very well inspired. And so she's bringing all that to public office. And if she can stay in that higher light and the higher mind, she can do some real wonderful good, not only for the United States, but for the whole world, because, of course, the President of the United States is just so influential in the whole world. So, quite wonderful. So, do we have any questions or any comments at all about this section that and these mini readings I have just done? Okay. Had your chance. All right, now we'll go to the next slide. And I now want people, this is your session, and I would like you to, we're going to use this, but we're going to do mini readings on for any of you who volunteer. And we're going to start with BL first. BL, you did, I just thought of this. So we're going to do BL first, and then Astrid, we'll do Astrid. And BL, I'll do a little interpretation for you, and then you can do a little interpretation for me. Astrid, if you'd like to get yours done, we'll do a little mini interpretation for you. And then for any of the students who would like to volunteer. This is the almost penultimate step in what we're doing, so most of our time I've left for this part. And then Brenda has asked a lot of questions which are very interesting, and so I'd like to have some time at the end to address those. They're all about esoteric astrology, so they should be of interest. So, Belle, what is your moon sign?
Libra.
And your sun sign?
Leo.
And your rising sign?
Gemini.
Okay, so we have Libra, and we did that one, of course, and I have a Libra moon. So both Biela and I have the same thing. And I see it down there, and I didn't mention this before, but one of the negatives of the negative patterning of Libra moon people is the sensuousness and sex. Venus rules Libra on the personality level, and Libra people can get very hooked into their social life and really put a lot of emphasis on their social life, being popular, being attractive, being sensuous, perhaps. I don't know how much BL is going to own up to that. I've got Scorpio with mine as well. But certainly we'll ask her, let her speak later. But that is one of the negatives. The other one, of course, that I mentioned is procrastinating and being unable to make a decision, getting stuck in the middle. BL's sun sign is Leo. So she needs to strive to be the higher self and to be the leader who comes, the lion, who comes from empathy, from compassion, and with wisdom, and to express that. So that is a personality goal, to be effective in the world. to be successful manager in the material life, if she can come from the higher ground and be fair and compassionate to people around her, then she will be not only more successful in bringing through her soul qualities, but it also will lead her to worldly success as well. And then her Gemini, her and I don't know why I didn't put in that third level in this, the Gemini ascendant, Beale's true soul qualities is develop that ability to, the key words for Gemini is I see my other self, and in the waning of that self I glow and grow. And so what Beale has to do, and all Gemini people have to do, is really be able to look at their lower self and ignore it, and by doing that, really, they will grow into their soul qualities. So going from being ineffective and being too occupied with the social life to learn to be a successful leader in the world, a strong leader, coming from fairness and that, and to be a really effective messenger for spiritual goals and purposes. Bea, would you like to comment and add to that and put your own interpretation on your three?
Oh, no, you nailed me to a T. No. I have to say on the Libra moon, I'm more into the I have to weigh all sides, and, you know, you get lost in inaction because you're trying to be fair to everybody. The sun sign... I do try and reach that higher self and be less of the in-your-face Leo. And Gemini, I'm now exploring that. I love that keynote. You know, I see the other self and the waning of that self,
grow and glow. And, of course, the esoteric rule, the soul rule of Gemini is Venus. So it's really interesting with you. You're moving from lower Venus, Libra moon, into the higher Venus, which is the Gemini Venus. And there you get, because she rules the Ajna chakra as well. So being the ruler of your life, and of course that's where the soul comes and sits as well. So for you, it's really a message to you from your soul is to really do that work, which enables you to be centered in your Ajna, so you can be effective messages to the world of spiritual values. And then, of course, you're so doing that with the work that you are doing in Moira Federation, let alone what you're doing in your personal area.
Well, thank you. And now it's your turn.
Okay, so I have a Libra moon as well, and I have a Cancer sun sign, and I have Scorpio rising.
Okay, so we've talked about the Libra moon. You have the two sides of it. With your Scorpio rising, I could see the sensuousness and the sex being important to you, because that's also the personality side of the Scorpio. So the two of those should work well together. Let's see, the sun, the Cancer sun, is developing the instincts, awakening the mind, awakening the intuition. And I think we see that a lot through the work that you do through your astrology, you know, as you can read people. I have that Ray 5 mind. It takes me forever to sit and think things through. But you have that intuition, that Ray 4 personality of yours, right, that helps bring that Cancer out. And then, of course, the Scorpio, what is the Scorpio key?
Warrior am I. And from the battle, yeah. I emerge triumphant.
Right. Because that's the disciple fighting those nine heads of the Hydra and raising them up, becoming the observer, going up from the soul and looking down at the personality. And it's a completely different perspective. So how do you see that working out for you, the Scorpio ascendant working out for you?
Yes, I see it exactly in that way. One of the things that I've had to battle with is with the emotional body, because I've got a double whammy with two water signs. I've got Cancer and Scorpio, both water signs, and the water sign represents the emotional body. And when I was younger, I was just so into my emotions, and so I was really very much the defensive Cancerian. And the Libra moon, and I used to really hide away, and I would never stick up for myself or defend myself until I was backed into a wall, and then I'd come out with my nippers, and it would be a full-on emotional attack and sort of thing. So it was as I went through the years and I got employed, then I realized if I was going to be a successful manager, I was going to have to learn to think and not give in to when I was unhappy or someone criticized me, going off in my little snipper Cancerian way. I was going to have to stay centered in my mind. So I did a lot of work in my life, personal development work, in order to be successful in the material world. I wanted to be a manager, I wanted promotion, which meant more money. Cancerians love their security, so I really, that was important for me. I put in a lot of work, and I really did and this is before I really stepped consciously onto the path and started studying into esoteric literature. I was doing a lot of work on myself because I was ambitious in the material world. And so the opposite sign of Cancer, of course, is Capricorn. All the opposites, the opposite signs are really linked. And so, but fighting that emotionalism and awakening the mind was so important for me. That brought me success in the world. And then, of course, when I found the teachings and started applying the training at that level, it's really helped me to really stay focused on the inner light, in the higher mind, and work from that level. Every now and then something happens and I go slam back into the lower self, into the crab, into the lower scorpion, and I come out fighting again. So duality is there, and it's there right until we take the third initiation, the enlightenment, which is when the soul has totally infused and purified the personality. Everyone listening will identify with what I am talking about, and the great battle that takes place in this dual consciousness that we've got going on. We're all in this together, and I have a Scorpio with a Scorpio ascendant, with anyone with Scorpio anywhere in the moon sign or sun sign, especially the moon sign. I see Scorpio moon sign people have the most difficult lives. For those who knew Lawson Bracewell, who passed away last year, he had a Scorpio moon, and he used to have the most tremendous battles, not only with himself, with people around him. He was always fighting. That's the one thing about Scorpio, you're always fighting. And if you're not fighting yourself, you're fighting other people. And eventually, in the soul wants us to go up and fight the lower self. So that's me, that's how I see that. Astrid, would you like to tell me what your moon sign is, please?
Okay, moon in Aries.
And your sun sign is Cancer, and your rising
Cancer. Yes, Aquarius.
Okay. BL, would you like to have a go at Astrid's? We'll do these alternatively, I think.
Okay. Aquarius. You want to try and be all things to all men.
That's her ascendant sign.
That's my ascendant.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aries. Aries. Oh, the boastful, the active. You know, that's the always going forward, but not necessarily finishing. So it can get you in trouble sometimes. The Cancer sun. Again, you're going from the instinctual to the intuition, awakening the mind, trying to use the emotional side to move you up, you know, to open the heart and move you up to the abstract side. And then the Aquarius ascendant, okay, that's the water of life poured forth for thirsty men. That's the world server. That's the goal of the Aquarian ascendant. So how do you see yourself working with any of those, working with the moon? How's it holding you back with the sun? How's your personality, the low side or the high side, and with your ascendant?
Okay, with the moon, bearing in mind that moon is very emotional in Aries, which is quick and fiery, which made me very, very quick-tempered, quick to anger, selfish, and aggressive. I work with that. I'm still working with that. And it is easing. I'm not quite so quick to anger. I'm not quite so quick to cut people off at their knees than I used to be. Now, having a look at Sun in Cancer, arrogant, controlling, yes, spot on, insecure, that is changing. And I have been urged to move that now to intuitive level. I'm sensitive, I'm very protective. But a little story, I used to do everything by emotion. I tried to control people by emotion. And it wasn't until I went to university about 20 years ago that I actually realized I had to start using my mind, otherwise I wasn't going to pass that course. I wasn't going to get my degree. So that, if you like, was the Capricorn influence, the opposite to my Cancer, coming in and forcing me to either use my mind or not get a degree. So I worked at it and ended up getting my degree. As far as the ascendant is in Aquarius is concerned, yes, I guess that's what I'm doing now. By helping here, by being involved in a goodwill unit of service, and by teaching.
It's interesting that you mentioned your mind, and that was how you brought your sun up. But, you know, that's also a keynote of Aries. Your moon sign is in Aries, and that's part of the prison of your soul. But the way that we transmute the things that are holding us back, that are keeping us in prison, is to raise them to the higher level. And Aries is a mental sign. So developing the mind is what brings you out of that and breaks that prison and those past patterns. So that was very interesting.
Thank you.
And that's excellent. Well, thank you for that. Now I think we'll go through, we're throwing it open, and I'd like everyone, if you wouldn't mind, if you know what your moon, sun, ascendant signs are, or what you do know, we'd like to do a little mini reading for you. So who would like to go first? Please put your hand up, otherwise I'm going to have to nominate Antoinette. Okay, and Antoinette, what's your moon sign?
I have the moon in Leo.
And your sun sign?
The sun in Sagittarius.
And your ascendant or rising sign?
In Pisces.
Pisces, okay. Yes. All right then, so we have the prison of the soul, and we've been talking a lot about Leo. So we have on our chart the arrogant lion, and we all know the symbology of the roaring lion, and that is really one aspect of the lion, but there's another side to the Leo moon, and that is that they can be very hypersensitive. And I've seen this more often than not in Leo people when it's the moon sign, is they can be so hypersensitive that they cut people off. And it's like, if you hurt me once or you humiliate me once, I cut you off forever. So there is this hypersensitivity about Leo people. And so that's I don't know whether in you it's the arrogant side or the hypersensitive side that you need to deal with. Do you have an opinion, Antoinette?
Yes, it's actually the hypersensitive side because of the Pisces influence there.
I see.
It's also very super sensitive.
That's correct, and you are so right. You've actually got two mutable signs as well. So we have this hypersensitive, and it's the personality that's hypersensitive. The emotional body is hypersensitive to any criticism.
Okay, so the Leo, you're very sensitive. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it reminds me of the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz. You know, this big lion that's supposed to be so fearsome, someone would look at him crossly and it would hurt his feelings and everything. So there's a lot that we have to deal with the Leo, whether it's your sun like mine or whether it's your moon. It is the patterns that you need to get over for yourself. Actually, the exoteric keynote for that is let other forms exist. I rule because I am. That's where that arrogance part of it comes in. But you said for you, it's mostly the sensitivity.
So, well,
that's good in a way because the arrogance is the harder one to deal with for most people. So, and then with your son in Sagittarius, it's getting your mind, again, Sagittarius is mental, so it's getting your mind into that mode of one-pointedness. You know, the esoteric key phrase is, I see the goal, I reach the goal, and then I see another. And that's where the one-pointedness really comes from. You know, you can get in a little rut as you go forward with that one-pointedness and don't deviate when you're working from the personality side of it. But once the soul starts taking over, it's the soul light that you're following. And with the ascendant in Pisces, that's also going to be another emotional and very feeling thing. But at this point, that's what your soul is working for. And it's, I leave the Father's house and turning back, I save. You know, if you look at the labors of Hercules, the last three signs are the initiate and then the world server and then the world savior. He's already passed the tests at that point. So that's the ultimate goal, is to have that compassion and love for all people. That's not an emotional kind. It's the compassion, and work with that. So given those extremes, really, of these three things, your moon, your sun, and your ascendant, how do you see those working out?
Especially being so very super sensitive, I do battle with the arrogance of Leo only coming through when I'm very emotional. I will lash out like the Sagittarius, be blunt, and say things, be very criticizing other people. And what I've learned is to control my mouth, because I think my lesson in this life is to be silent, because being a so-called a psychic, I will talk about things that I'm not supposed to with people that are not ready to hear all that information. So I've learned in Pisces then to control arrogant, being arrogant, to want to talk about it, to want to say my thing. And Sagittarius also being shooting out the arrows, giving little bits of information. In Pisces, I withdraw more and be quiet and learn to control what I say.
Yes, and that's a good combination, because you've got that, like you said, the Sagittarius, open your mouth first and think later, and then the Pisces that will tamper it down, because Pisces likes to stay in the shadows. So, I can see how they can work to your benefit in some cases, and. Actually, I think the sensitivity of Leo is a mechanism to keep from the arrogance. You've got to have both. You have to be that benevolent leader. You have to adapt into that benevolent leader with Leo. So it's interesting that you, as you observe yourself, you're looking at a lot of the negative sides of this. There are, you know, as Leonie was mentioning, we all have the negative sides that come out at our worst of times, but you know what they are. You're observing them and you know what they are. So you know the direction that you can go to work with them.
I find that I use the Leo a lot to come out and say, once I've thought things through now, I rather sit, withdraw, think through something, and then only come back with knowledge and with intellect, rather than just saying things bluntly. I use the Leo and the Sagittarius quite often in more positive ways.
That's good. That's what you're supposed to do with those past patterns of the moon, is take them and convert them, transform them into the better, the higher expression of them. And of course, Sagittarius and Leo are both fire signs, and those are both mental signs. And it sounds to me like you're using that along with, you know, the mutable signs that you have, and you know, they work together, which is basically what you've been describing. I'm sorry, I'm not as quick on my feet as Leonie is with this stuff here.
Oh, BL, how am I coming through now?
Now you're great.
I've closed off everything else on that I can around, and so that's good. All right, thanks for that, Bill. So, gosh, it's so good that you were there. All right, can we have another volunteer then, please? Hands up.
Come on, guys. I saw a hand up earlier. There we go.
Tracy. Okay, Tracy, what is your moon sign, please?
Pisces.
And your sun sign?
Leo.
And your rising sign?
Capricorn.
Okay, so we've got here, and I'm going to do a slightly different. So we're moving from a water sign Pisces to a fire sign Leo to an earth sign in the ascendant. So you can see the direction. We could say that really needing to overcome an emotional pattern, Pisces. Leo has a lot to do with the emotions as well, dealing with hypersensitivity and fire, and really learning to be grounded and stable and effective in the world. That is the ultimate goal of this soul, is for you to aspire to some position in life, Capricorn, be ambitious for that and to strive towards that in your soul work. So going back to Pisces again, we can see that the prison of the soul is to be emotionally weak and hypersensitive, and you can't get to such very different signs as Pisces and Leo. So in the personality has to really be that stable, strong lion of a personality and not allow the double sensitivity you've got there of Pisces, because there is a similarity there with Antoinette. Is not allow that sensitivity to really prevent you from being a strong, effective personality in the world, a manager and director of people, and being very perhaps do well in your working life, to be a manager, a leader, and that. And so that is the aspiration that your soul wants you to take on, to be an effective leader. And then if we make the connection from Leo to Capricorn, we have two signs where the first ray flows through, which is the will and power, the leadership ray. And so you can really see your soul is wanting you to play an effective part in your community with a goal in mind, depending upon how much work that you do on yourself. And you're striving to be effective also in outside your local community and perhaps more onto the world stage. In terms of your personality development, going back to Pisces, overcome the weakness in the astral body. Leo rules the heart chakra, become more heart-centered, more sensitive, kind as a leader, step forth as a leader, yes, but learn to come from the heart. And then to be the goat on the earthly disciple, being effective and stable and very strong in the world. So you've got some great signs there, and two signs that have the first ray coming through. So really for you, if Tracy, it's very much to become an effective leader in your community and in the world. So how do you see yourself, and do you relate to anything I've said?
Yes, I do. Certainly I spent a long time in my younger years being hypersensitive and drifting from, like the fish, from one thing to another. And in connection to the Leo sun, if I kind of felt that I wasn't getting my own way, then my hypersensitivity wouldn't help me cope with rejection, and I'd just be off. I'd be escaping. I wouldn't stay anywhere, wouldn't settle, couldn't find a job that I was really passionate about. And then 2 years ago I studied reflexology. I now have started, through the studies here as well, I started to become more heart-centered through the Moria Federation studies. And I now have my own reflexology business. I have a clinic in my garden. I work from home, and I have a lot of clients from my local community that come and have treatments, and they're very effective and helpful, and I feel that I've stabilised in this role, which I love doing, and I'm becoming much more community oriented because of it.
I think that's wonderful, and thank you very, very much for sharing, Tracy. All okay. Right, we'll have our next volunteer. And Leo, would you like to, if we have another volunteer, hope so. Who's next? Come on, Yvonne, you've never been shy about coming forward.
Thank you.
Bill.
I didn't even follow the times, and so I'm not great class, I'm just auditing. But as Bill knows, my moon is in Taurus, my sun is in Libra, and my ascendant is Virgo.
Okay. So the Virgo moon past patterns.
Aquarius, I think she said that's her ascendant.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. I wrote them down backwards. I had them all set out here and I wrote them down backwards. I'm sorry, your moon sign is Taurus. Same thing. It's selfish desire. Taurus is an earth sign. And it's basically me, 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 me. I want, I want, I want. They, you know, the bull just pretty much goes through taking everything that he wants. As we saw in, the labor, the Cretan bull, he's capturing the Cretan bull, and he has to learn to ride the bull of desire instead of having the desire ride him, is basically what that lesson is. So that's what we've got there. Your sun sign is, what did you say it was? Oh, yeah, Libra. It's Libra. And we've talked about that before. You've got to get over the inability to move because you're too busy weighing opposites, and you have to find that balance, the line between the two, so that you're not at either of the extremes. Libra, for the personality, is also that very relationship-oriented. You want to be liked by everybody. You want to be part of the crowd until you learn to use the higher expression of it and to modify the behavior and work in a balanced way. Libra is Venus. That's the relationship part of it. And the higher ruler of Libra is Uranus, which is intuition. And then your ascendant is the one that's Virgo, and that is the I am the mother and the child, I, God, I, matter, am. It's basically the nurturing of the Christ child within. What's the other keynote they have for it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's finally recognizing that the two, matter and spirit, can merge within that Christ child, and birthing that Christ child. So of all of those things I've told you about, those three signs, how do you see them working out for you?
Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Okay. My moon in Taurus, I agree with everything you say. My moon in Taurus, I've had a lifetime of trying to overcome addictions, food, alcohol, other things, and all these Taurian habits that I brought in. My sun sign in Libra, I've always had trouble making up my mind. I was afraid of making mistakes, so I wouldn't decide what kind of car to buy because I wanted somebody else to decide for me. Well, I didn't have to make a mistake. It was the wrong one. It was that bad. So Libra, and I'm good with people. Now, my career was in nursing, so that's Virgo, and in healing. And in Virgo, I look at it as purification. My whole life has been about purification in Virgo, my ascendant. And I'm still doing that. This is my fourth year starting now in Moria, and I'm on the probationary path, and it's purification, and I'll be on that for the rest of my life. So I think it's right on. And that's where I am. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. But see how you're doing that, though? You're taking that Virgo ascendant and the purification and the Libra sun and the balance. You know, you're not doing either of the extremes anymore. And you're nurturing in your careers, you know, as a nurse. You know, you're helping, or you helped other people in that. So you're actually very effectively using all three of them together. Yes, you still have a lot of work to go, but again, you know, you're looking at it from the soul level. You're recognizing what your faults are, and you can see just in this lifetime alone how far you've already come. And the work that you're doing as you progress, as your soul is beginning to take hold. So thank you, Yvonne.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Belle. We'll need to move on to the questions now. I'm sorry we don't have time to do everybody, but that's just the way it is. We've got some interesting questions, though. If you could go to the next slide, please, Astrid. And these, so the questions, these came from Brenda. moon, the moon. And can you unmute Brenda, please, Beale? So just in case you have anything to add as I'm going through these, Brenda, please do so. So your first question, the moon, can it move through, I guess it means, can you move through Vulcan, Neptune and Uranus in one life? This relates to the moon being, the moon is a veil, and what that means in esoteric astrology, in average people, the average person who's not yet on the spiritual path, the moon is veiling higher energies, higher spiritual energies. And the reason that this is done is because the higher forces would be too much for the physical body and the mind body and even the emotional body to be able to handle. It's like the spiritual energy is of such a high vibration. If the average person who has not yet integrated their personality or become used to the fire of spirit playing upon their consciousness, then that unveiled energy would cause all sorts of problems, physical and psychological problems. When a person first steps onto the path, Vulcan is unveiled, and it is the planet of purification. And so you see people then start to clean up their appetites. It has a lot to do with balancing out your sexual energy, but also your craving for food. And so you get a lot of people who become vegetarians, for example. Now, when you take the next step up, and that's like from the first to second initiation, Neptune is unveiled and you're dealing with your emotional body. So in answer to your question, can you move through these three levels, I have put yes and it would be unusual, but really, Brenda, no, it doesn't, because it takes many lives to purify your sexual energy. It takes a long time to purify your emotional energy. And when Uranus comes through, it means you're at that global level and you're taking in spiritual. So I've said unusual because the Christ moves through so quickly, we are told, through these levels that possibly he did. But for the average person, no, there are many hundreds of lives involved in all these different planetary effects on us, the different work taking place in our various bodies, and these different initiations. Is that clear for you?
You're on self-mute, so if you're trying to talk, we can't hear you, Bryn.
And, well, I'll go on to the next question. The next question, what is the moon, which is associated with the astral or emotional body, does it influence more in the teen years? And I would say yes, that's probably right, because as we go into adolescence, which is the period when we're really wearing our emotional body, well, that is really related to the moon sign. And so we will probably see our moon sign negatives as well as the positives, but especially the negatives, really playing out in our teen years. So the answer to that question is yes. Question three, when we read about the pre-patterns in the moon or Vulcan, and I put there, well, not Vulcan, because Vulcan doesn't work at the personality level. It only is a force of the soul. And so a Vulcan pattern doesn't really, to do with the prison of the soul pattern, it's just not possible in esoteric astrology. So when we read the pre-patterns in the moon, it appears there is only one basic pattern that we bring in. And my written answer is the moon shows us the most entrenched negative habit pattern that is prisoning the soul. Now, you sometimes can interpret one sign different ways, like I was doing that with Leo, there's arrogance and there's hypersensitive. But to get the all-round picture, the moon sign does represent the most entrenched negative habit pattern. And so once we have got those traits and got them all together, well, that represents that pattern. Okay, next question. Oh, yes, Brenda.
Yes, sorry. So I'm just assuming that because I can see a lot of, I'm a Leo moon, Sun Aquarius, and an ascendant Pisces. So when we're looking at my opposites, I've got to look, basically I'm assuming I look at my Leo moon, but I have to look at my opposite Aquarius. And then in my sun, I'm looking at Aquarius, and I have to look at the opposite Leo, so it's quite tight. I'm thinking that the moon needs to, that in the astral teenage years, I can see my Leo moon, my hypersensitivity, but I don't see it now, so I feel like that I'm leaving the moon behind. But in listening to you today, it appears more like that I need to incorporate the three things holistically. Is that right?
That is
like the moon,
correct.
The sun, and the ascendant.
That is correct, because we play out all this. Once the moon is purified, then we have the positive. All it means is that those negatives that we were displaying, now in the armament of the personality, we have a strength. So, for example, your Leo moon, it means no longer are you hypersensitive or arrogant about the way you express your power. You now have a more balanced, sensitive use of power, and that will benefit you in your, what is your sun sign?
Aquarius.
Yes, and that will benefit in your humanitarian work, because we have the water bearer. So you're needing to work, it's saying there that you're needing to take those leadership skills out into the organisations that you work in, especially social organisations and humanitarian organisations, which Aquarius rules. But you need those leadership skills. It will really help you be effective in your personality work. And you can see how we're becoming holistically, we're gathering in all these energies. No energies are put aside. We're trying to bring through every energy positively. And then, of course, when you're moving towards your Piscean rising sign, we have the World Server here. So your soul is training you for some perhaps more greater humanitarian work. You've got two of the great humanitarian signs in you, Aquarius and Pisces, and you really need that Leo leadership energy to be transmuted positive, so that you can bring that effective leadership strong skill into the work that you do. Does that make sense?
That's fantastic. It just makes it holistic. That's wonderful. Thanks, Leonie.
Okay, we'll go on to the next question then, Astrid. I can feel myself wanting to hurry now, so, because I'm watching the time. I hope it's not too late for everybody. So the next question, if a person is on the path, neither the moon or its house is red, use either Vulcan, Neptune, or only. Okay, so and that really, what we discussed previously also answers this question. We do read the moon in its house, but we read it in its positive light. If we're thinking about our soul work and our work in the world and our service work in the world, we do need to read the moon, because it tells us so much about where we're going to put a lot of our energy. Now, for example, what house is your moon in? Brenda,
You're muted. I.
Okay. My house. My moon is in ninth house, I think. Oh gosh.
No. Your moon is in the fifth.
Fifth house, is it?
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
She's got a full moon. Yes. She was born on a full moon. It's opposite.
Okay. Now, Brenda, leave yourself unmuted so you can speak directly.
Okay.
So it does mean that you're needing to really develop your leadership skills, maybe with children. It's such a creative house, beautiful. It's the sun's natural house. So you're needing to really be creative, so you can, and that will hold you instead in your Aquarius and Pisces work that you're doing in the world. So can you get the idea, you still read those houses that your moon is in and your sun is in?
Yes, it's very complicated.
Well, until you get working with it a while. Okay, next question. Thank you, Astrid. Is it correct to place Vulcan directly over the moon or sun? It is. I've answered. It is correct to place Vulcan. So what I'm saying in this question is, when you're on the path, or when you're reading the chart for somebody who's on the path or aspiring to be on the path. They're at that aspirational stage, so they're dealing with their appetites and their sex. They're trying to bring balance into their life. Then you put Vulcan directly over the moon or sun in the chart, because those planets are starting to unveil that Vulcanian force, and so they're really starting to purify those parts in their psychology. So if they have the moon in Cancer, for example, or the sun in Cancer, Vulcan pouring through is saying, hey, you need to purify your emotional life, because the sun's a... And likewise, the house that it's in, Vulcan will be influencing that house. So for example, my son is in the eighth house in Cancer, so not only am I expected to clean my emotional life up, but I also have to maybe clean my sexual life up, because the eighth house has got a lot to do with sex. It's a ruler of sex, and there are other things it rules as well, but for a simple explanation. Is that clear, Brenda?
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time to explain that. Thank you.
Okay, next question. We've got a lot more. Vulcan in the fifth house is asking to establish balance between the sacral and throat chakras. My answer is Vulcan only influences on the path. The life areas that need purifying are the houses that the sun and moon are in. Vulcan is involved with the first transference sacral to throat in humanity. So I don't establish the work that needs to be done by houses, really. I only work with the planets, the sun, moon, in this type of reading. Then I will go to the house and look for what needs to be done in their local environment. But when I'm looking for the balance that is required between the sacral and the throat, I might be looking at planet Mars and Mercury, for example, because Mercury is one of the rulers of the throat chakra, or Saturn is the ruler of the throat chakra. So I might be looking at the what's going on in the chart between those two. Uranus is another ruler of the sacral chakra. So I would look at the given rulers of the chakras, and I would start looking at what's going on in the chart, what messages are there. For example, I've got in my chart, I have a conjunction between Mars and Jupiter. Mars is a ruler of the solar plexus chakra, and Jupiter is a ruler of the heart chakra. And that tells me that I am needing to make that, I've got that transference going on in this life from solar plexus to heart. They're both in the sign of Leo, by the way, which rules the heart chakra. So I have got several signals in my chart which tells me that that is a transference that is taking place in the chakras. That takes longer to really learn about, and that, and so I hope I'm not complicating it unnecessarily. Do you understand what I've said, Brenda?
Yes, I do. And just on that, what do you have any reference books that you would use? Is astrology and chakras?
My any books. Chance? Yeah, my books, I've done a bit of it. My Journey of the Soul book, I've worked with some, I think I've done some chakra work. I don't know, I can't remember how extensively. My next book, Medical Astrology, will have more of that as well, but that's still to come out. But so there might be other books as well, and later we'll have BL and I will have a little think, and if there's a book to recommend, we'll let you know about that.
Okay, thank you, Leonie. I think Treatise on White Magic has a lot of references in there.
In the Tibetan's books. Okay, well, that's really good. And I think he also may mention some in the Discipleship and the New Age books. There might be something there. Okay, so you've got here, the next question is, what is the difference between a Leo moon and a Leo sun? And you could ask that for any of the signs, of course. What's the difference between a moon and sun. Well, I'm going to give a little example of this. One of the first teaching groups I got into in New Zealand, where I started, was myself, Lawson Braceful, and Bruce Lyon. And Bruce Lyon had a Scorpio Sun. Lawson had a Scorpio Moon. And I had a Scorpio Rising. It was a very Scorpionic group and played out exactly as you would expect that we had our Scorpionic spats. But in observing it, the Scorpio Moon, really the negatives were more obvious. It seemed to come out. And when they came out, well, Lawson was really working on his stuff. But when his Leo Moon, his Scorpio Moon came out, it really came out with a vengeance. I thought that I could see more control in Bruce in that regard because he had a Scorpio Sun. Of course, he had another Moon somewhere else. So those were the traits that were coming out. So generally, when these different sides of our personality come out, the Scorpio Moon or the any Moon sign, you usually get more of the negatives coming out than you would in the Sun sign. The Sun, in our Sun, it's the ruler, the Sun sign is the ruler of consciousness, whereas the Moon is the ruler of the unconscious. So when a Moon pattern playing out, it's our unconscious pattern that's coming out as a defense. When our Sun pattern is being expressed, our Sun sign is being expressed, we're usually doing it consciously, and we're mindful of how we're being portrayed, and we're also mindful that we want to look good, and so we modify the sign traits. Is that clear?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, next question, thank you, Astrid. Why, and I didn't understand that next question. Can you explain what you meant?
Oh, well, we read the Labours of Hercules. We read it in the Moon, but we also read it in the Sun. So which one, like if I'm a Moon Leo, do I read the Labours of Hercules in Leo as the Labours of Hercules in Aquarius? I just got myself confused, I think.
Yeah, you look at each of the, you read your Labour of Hercules for the Moon and with mindful that there are negatives, especially that you're trying to transmute. Then you read the Labours of Hercules for your Sun sign, mindful that you're trying to do the Sun work, and likewise for your Rising sign.
Okay, I think I'm getting more of a holistic understanding now, so thank you.
Okay. And I've got here, full moon meditation is for world healing, though it can be used for personal growth. Spiritual forces impressing our sun qualities on humanity. I've just got myself a bit confused there as well. So the question really is, what is the purpose of the full moon meditation? Of course, it's a really good to meditate at that time for personal growth and to really help take on within yourself some of the positive qualities that that are pouring into the earth space. As a group, though, we use it for world healing, so we're trying to use the positive qualities of the sign that the Sun is in to impress that into the consciousness of the whole of humanity for world healing. Does that answer your question?
I don't remember writing that question, but...
Oh, okay, all right. All right, yeah. And I think we're coming to the last, next question. Thanks, Astrid. I think these are the last ones now. So, and the question is, when you first look at a chart, is there any particular order that you take? This is a matter of your own personal taste, Brendan. So what I have given is the pattern that I use, the format, the method that I use when I'm doing a soul reading for a person. I have two types of readings that I do. One is the one where a person has a specific problem and they're coming to me with that specific problem. I just focus on that problem, and this is not the format that I've listed here. However, if a person says, I want soul direction, come along, this is the format I use. I look at the Sun, the Moon, and the Ascendant sign. I give an overview of it, just as we've been doing in these little mini readings. And then I will go to each one, and I will do that in detail. I will look at the aspects, I will look at the house, and the rays that they are known, and I would use those in conjunction with the Moon, the Sun, and the Rising sign. Finally then, in relation to all of that, I will look at the transits progressions. Sometimes I will do those transit and progressions as, for example, I'm working with point B and I'm doing the moon sign. So while I'm talking about the problems that the person has to deal with, I might also include the transits progressions at the same time, and I'll say, by the way, this has really been triggered at this time because you have this going on and that going on, and so now you've got the test right upon you at this time, so rise to the occasion. Or I might say, in 6 months' time, this is really going to be full in your face and you will have to be dealing with this, so prepare yourself. So, my format isn't rigid. Sometimes, because I have a very interactive dialogue going on with the client, sometimes they direct you in different directions. So I try to stay fluid and also try and keep to this little method that I have. So is that helpful for you?
Yes, it is very helpful. Thank you.
All right. So this brings us to the end of everything that's been planned for this session. I must apologise that we've got over time. I try and stay on an hour and a half. We're going to 2 hours. Are there any final questions or any feedback that anybody would like to give about the session today?
We did actually get some feedback a little earlier. I was going to pass it on to you a little later, but Brenda said earlier that it's so good to listen to you pull things together, like the elements, the opposites, the rays and chakras, like you did throughout the throughout your webinar here. And Tracy says it was great. Thank you.
Oh, that's really good. So I can just unmute everybody. Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
So if there are any final thoughts, maybe we could just hear from, I just really like to hear, Ira, do you have anything to say about the session today? I'll go through everybody.
I found it quite interesting to get an insight into the astrological, into the esoteric side of astrology. I'm kind of new to this and feel like astrology would probably be some kind of a language that I don't speak so well. So it was quite interesting to get some things down here. So thank you for that.
That's good. Thank you very much for your feedback. Anne, do you have anything that you would say at all? I think you're on self-mute.
Yeah, she's on self-mute.
Oh, if you feel like saying something, just unmute yourself. Antoinette, do you have anything you would like to say?
No, I would just like to add thank you so much for the bringing everything together and be able to give us a guideline to work towards.
Thank you, and thank you very much. Brenda, do you have anything else you would like to add?
No, but just thank you for still doing these webinars, and thank you to everyone listening if I've taken up too much time this morning. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, that's great. Frederick, would you like to say something?
Yes, it was great because I always try to relate relationship between sign and energies and impact on stress or soul understanding.
Excellent. Well, hopefully this type of webinar will be helpful for that.
Yes, grateful. Thank you so much. Gratitude.
Thank you, Frederick. Tracy, do you have something to say?
Yes, just that it really helps with the assignments that we have. I find it really helpful in understanding the astrology. I think astrology for me can be a bit overwhelming at times, but when I listen to these webinars, I start to feel like I'm grasping somewhat of the technicalities of it all. So it's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for that feedback. It's important for us as teachers that we try and get our programs to meet the needs of non-astrologers in particular. Thank you. Yvonne, do you have anything you would like to say?
I appreciate what you're doing, even though I'm not in Great Quest now. I need the astrology because I
forget this stuff. And this is a great review for me, and I would like more of it, and I'd like to know when the next one is. I don't want to intrude, but, you know, if you don't mind me coming in.
No, we don't. Thank you very much for your feedback. Actually, I've always enjoyed your participation because you're right to the point, and so appreciate that. So I'd like to thank you for all attending. Thank you so much, Astrid and BL, for helping out and for making this a wonderful session. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and so hopefully I'll see you all next month as well. So goodbye for now.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Me too.
Bye.
Thank you.